Welcome to Real Flicks Reviews, like a book club for people who hate reading. This month's our theater pick, so we picked the movie The Jungle Book, made in 2016. We do season 2, episode 3.
New York's finest.
Of Daredevil, and we bring you movie news. This week we have Jonathan Charney, James Stevens, and Ryan Preston. This is the description of the 2016 version of The Jungle Book. The man cub Mowgli flees the jungle after a threat from the tiger Shere Khan, guided by
Bagheera.
The panther and the bear Baloo, Mowgli embarks on a journey of self-discovery, though he meets creatures who didn't have his best interest at heart.
Who don't have his best interest in.
Close enough. And the most interesting thing about this is not the first live-action movie. There was one made in 94.
Horrible.
There might be one who were previously.
Not that I know of.
It was 94's Jungle Book. This, what was that?
Oh, I'm trying to think of the lead that did the movie. Wasn't
the lead was Jason Scott Lee?
Oh,
and it was directed by Scott Summers.
Stick with the X-Men.
Yeah, but that was when he was a little bit older, wasn't it?
He was like a preteen or supposed to be preteen or some shit like that.
I actually think it would probably be closer to late. Teens.
It kind of seemed like there was like the Tarzana Greystroke type thing, but not as good. I want to jump into this one. I was surprised by the cast.
I was going to say, also, this is directed by Jon Favreau.
Oh, that's right. Yes, Jon Favreau is the one who did this. Yeah, the cast, I mean, like, Jon was saying that he didn't pick out so many voices, but I was listening to the voice, I'm like, okay, there's Ben Kingsley, Bill Murray, and then when they busted out Christopher Walken, I'm like, oh my God, this just went epic.
I have to say, one of the reasons I think I wasn't really paying attention to the voice acting is this movie was amazingly animated for the parts that were amazing, and it was one of the few movies that I wasn't paying attention to other things. Like, usually movies like this, the animation as far as the mouth movement and other things are so bad, I'm actually listening to the voice actor.
So, but also the snake, I was really blown away by the sheer size of it and how well they did it. And I guess there's people ripping on the size of the animals. You know, that really wasn't the point. I liked the oversized animals that they were using.
Especially my favorite was the way they showed the elephants. In the movie, there was all the animals had a reverence for the elephants. So I love the fact they showed them as these giant monstrosities.
Yeah, that's actually the one character that we were missing was the colonel, and the relationship with his young elephant.
Yeah,
but
they hinted at it.
But see, that was really the difference, man, between the one in the 90s who tried to make him a little older, like, oh, this is his kind of coming of age a little bit more and interactions with humans, where the first one was really just about how he lived in the jungle, his friends, his interaction with the animals. And man, they kind of just took me back to a kid. And it's been forever since I'd seen The Jungle Book, so I really wasn't in it to compare. But the way they blended the CGI in this was freaking beautiful.
I mean, it was off the hook. I want to also do a quick shout out to the kid. Neil Sethi, I think that's how it's pronounced. I mean, to work with CGI that way, with voice actors, and I mean, there was only like one scene where I was kind of like, all right, well, he's a little overacting, and it was when he was trying to feed the little like fox things.
Yeah.
You know, and he was shaking it a little much. We're losing Ryan for a moment. But, you know, the rest of it, I was really impressed with his ability to interact with the CGI for as young he is.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen actors that have been around for a very long time have issues with that. I don't know. You're playing ads over there.
What
the hell are you doing?
The fuck?
Okay.
I was going to say he's 13.
But still.
No, I was going to say, you know? For being 13 and interacting, because I'm assuming a lot of this was green screen, because if any of those animals were live action, most of them, he wouldn't have been able to be in the same room with them as the way he was looking at them. If you look in a lot of the scenes like the wolves, he's actually looking in the eyes.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Do you think that being that age would actually kind of lend itself to working with a CGI thing? I mean, that close to your childhood imagination, you know?
I think it helps a little bit more, honestly. But I'd also say that the fact he's young and didn't overact it
There was that only part, the one scene is where I think he overacted it, but I still think it's a passable overacting.
Oh,
so that's really what I would be pointing out. And
in that scene, to me, even though it was overacting, I thought it was passable just because the fact that he basically lost his family. So maybe that was his one chance of saying, "Hey, I can make a friend." That's kind of the way I interpret that scene.
I want to throw in one more thing. I got to say, I was very happy that they did the bare necessities.
Yes.
And I want to be like you. I want to see that studio with Christopher Walken in there singing that. Yeah. And I just want to hand him a cowbell.
Yeah.
There wasn't enough. So, there wasn't enough pauses in it, though.
You know, but I got to say, though, if they didn't have at least those two songs in there, I would have been pissed. And I have to say, Disney, I am actually very impressed that you did not create another song to screw up another childhood favorite.
Well, you know what? I mean, what they did, man, is they really went for making the Jungle Book. They went for the talking animals.
Yeah.
Oh, they went for the songs, even though, you know, Baloo's was kind of just like his own little tune that, you know, it wasn't like a big dance number the way it was, obviously.
Initially, it was just a little tune, but when they were in the river, he brought it in more.
I really like the way they did this, because it didn't turn out to do what they do in a lot of these live-action movies, where pretty much all the animals are static, they're not talking, and since this is Disney and they already had a previous cartoon version, I thought this was really well done compared to the sort, you know.
But I mean, we've already seen Disney kind of doing the talking animals with the Chronicles of Narnia, but I think this one actually took it to another level. I really do.
Well, my point being is what the one in the 90s did. I mean, obviously it went away from that and it tried to, okay, we have a live action person, so we have to make sure the animals are just real animals. And they didn't take it that earnestly. They kept it lighthearted and they kept the story that was fun.
Yeah. You know?
I would say James's comment was right on, with the 94 version being very close to Tarzan. I mean, granted, this is Roger Kipling, but that comment of James was spot on. This is pretty much the cartoon version that Disney made, but live action. It's identical in a lot of ways.
I mean, like Ryan's saying, like, I haven't seen the Jungle Book for at least 15 years.
Say it's been at least 20 years. I watched it with a
couple kids, but you know, I didn't see any major difference. I mean, you could find them if you were really nitpicking and being like, okay, well, that wasn't just how it was, but then you're really being over analytical of it, because it's basically this exact same story. They kept a lot of the things the same. They even threw in a couple songs, which they could have not done the songs, but if they had done that, I would have given them one. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
But they did the two major ones that I think the film needed for the guys that are adults now that grew up watching The Jungle Book. You know,
and
what's great is they gave the character of Baloo and of King Louie to Bill Murray. I mean, it was them. Like, they brought themselves to those characters, and like you said before, it was really good casting.
Oh, just amazing.
Right down to Mowgli looking exactly like he did in the cartoon.
Right? I was amazed.
So there was one change that since I haven't seen this movie in 20 years, that stood out right away was Ka, because I didn't say it was female.
Yeah, Ka.
That snake is generally male through all Disney stuff, including the Robin Hood. And that one was voiced by Scarlett Johansson. And
I think she did a good job.
I actually liked it.
That was cool.
I actually really liked the change.
But like we were saying, is like there's little things that they didn't do or changes that they did that I actually think are passable. And I think this is one of them.
See, I actually...
Because I did the same thing at first when the snake came on and started talking. I'm like, wait... No, you can't be that.
See, I liked that. So. I actually thought it added to it. I actually thought it just added an extra little layer, because that character, I don't know, seeing it as a male wouldn't seem to be as vicious. For some reason, the female snake, a snake being female in that role, seemed more vicious, and I thought it was a perfect
more
change.
Sinister, I guess.
Yeah.
More seductive. I mean, obviously, there with the hypnotic eyes and... Yeah, I mean, it just... That soft kind of lullaby.
Yeah.
And this movie did have the late Gary Shandling, who just recently passed away as, I can't even remotely pronounce that.
Icky.
You know, as one of his last, I think this is, if not his last movie, definitely one of them.
Yeah.
Because he didn't do a lot of movies towards the end of his career.
Yeah. So, but, you know, as far as I'm concerned, you know, I found myself in, like, halfway through the movie, still having, like, at least 45 to half an hour left, so it's a little bit more than half of the movie, but I was already thinking, you know, I already know what score I'm going to give this film.
Oh, yeah.
By that point, and it was to the point that there could have been a few mistakes that would have maybe made me drop, like, half a point or a point, but I don't think this film lets you down. I really don't. I was very surprised by that.
I agree. And I think one of the benefits about this movie is because it's a throwback to early Disney animation.
Yeah.
Without sacrificing it to modern day storytelling or modern day morality or whatever thing you want to choose.
Well, I mean, they kept the Mother Earth theme, which I'm okay with. I mean, that's a lot of Disney.
Well, no, I mean, I guess because a lot of times Hollywood has a tendency to take an older story and really kind of, you know, juice it up to be like a modern,
throwing like the tree trimming, you know, the what is that called?
Like fern gully?
The stripping, yeah.
Yeah. And so
that type of thing. I could see what you're saying.
I really appreciate it keeping it very traditional.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, that was the biggest, like, high five moment. It was like, for me, sitting and watching Jungle Book as a kid, it's the same story, the same basic thing. I mean, what do you think, Ryan?
I think you're absolutely, I think you're right, Dean. I mean, they were definitely really respectful of Disney and what they did for the story and all of that. I go with a 4.5. I mean, it really would have been a 5, but, you know, shit, make something new. I mean, that's just kind of a thing for everybody.
You know, I gotta say, you know, I'm right there with Ryan.
You know, I mean, this is one I feel like.
But
we did catch the last part of that.
Yeah, well, you kind of cut out, so that's why I stopped.
No, I was saying you can take your kids to this, you know, thinking like, oh, okay, well, you know, hopefully they don't ruin my childhood while, you know, my kid's watching it.
Yeah.
And your kid likes it, and then you're sitting there like, holy shit, this is like the same movie that I likes, is it?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot, they did keep a lot of the nostalgia, and didn't.
Yeah, not really much wrong with it at all.
Yeah,
I was gonna say I did want to add.
Sorry, Ryan, you cut out quite a bit, so we're just moving on.
In an era full of movies that people say are family friendly, and generally I would say they're not. There's language, there's jokes like Shrek.
I mean, yeah, Deadpool.
Deadpool. I really do want to commend Disney for making a true family-friendly movie, something that just is not done anymore at all.
Yeah. You know, I gotta say, I mean, Brian just nailed exactly what I was gonna point off of this film. I mean, it's a 4.5, and as far as I'm concerned, they nailed this film. There is pretty much nothing wrong with this film at all. But for me, it still doesn't jump up into that 5 because, you know, 5 is like, I mean, absolutely perfect. And I actually don't think the cartoon Jungle Book is absolutely perfect either. But the way that they did this, it's like they raised the bar as far as I'm concerned. They raised the standard for themselves, and I hope they keep it up.
See, I was originally going to give this a 5, actually, coming into this. And then with you guys mentioning the reasons why you didn't give that half a point, and I have to agree, Ryan's comment as far as this is an original, this is basically a retread Disney work.
Yeah.
James's comment was spot on. I mean, to me, the reason why I'd give this, I would have given this a 5 is I always give kind of entertainment factor a lot more stroke than I think my two partners here do. Probably a little bit more, honestly. A bit more. They're totally right. I mean, there are some drawbacks to this besides some of the little flaws in the stories and the fact that James is right. The original one was not a perfect movie in the first place. No, this is a strong 4 to 5. The soundtrack, the color palette, the animation, the characters the actors they chose is spot on. It's just absolutely amazing. One of the very few movies I've seen in the last decade that I can actually forget the fact I'm watching a movie. Strong 4 to 5. And now we're going to...
Real quick, the one thing I wanted to say about points off for originality. Obviously, a lot of things get remade, and I understand that certain things want to get played to certain new generations and things. But seriously, guys, answer me this. How many TV shows and cartoons and movies did we watch as a kid and had no idea they were 30 years older than us?
Yeah.
I do think this is kind of the part where we're like, we're now at the age where we're telling kids to get off our lawn. Is
yeah, but my point being is, like, I used to watch Johnny Quest and think the shit was made last weekend.
Like, oh my god, what's gonna happen to Johnny?
Like, until I was older and I was like, that was from like 1963 or something. Yeah.
And one season, by the way.
Yeah.
It never made it past two seasons because it was too violent.
Ooh.
One season. Yeah.
Exactly. There are Scooby, these things, like, they you don't necessarily.
I think
reading stuff.
I do think that is definitely something, as a movie reviewer, I don't necessarily take into my review, is the fact that at this point they're starting to remake movies from my childhood, and usually I'm like, well, this was good enough. So no, I'm totally with you. I'm a little more defensive of them remaking stuff from my childhood because, well, for exact, Ghostbusters was a perfect movie. There's no need to remake it with horrible casting.
Oh God, yeah.
But that's a show for another day. It's what we bitch about remakes. Maybe we'll do that when we hit episode 200. It'll be 200 bitching about remakes. So next we're gonna do the Daredevil.
Yes,
yeah, so, and it's his turn.
So I chose this one because. Let me just start this one. I don't throw people blindly into the middle of chaos like this. Yes, I did it.
I see what you did there.
Good. But, I mean, there's a lot of chaos in this one that you're thrown into, and you don't really know what the hell's going on. You got all these different things happening. But the reason why I picked this specific one is because I wanted to highlight the way that the directing, the production, the camera capabilities, and I'm focusing on the stairwell scene specifically because I don't see very many network or like HBO or Cinemax doing camera tricks and be able to follow the action so fluidly during a whole fight scene. This well, and I really, and for me, it was Netflix just being like, hey, look what we can do.
And a very,
because it was amazing.
And a very uncomfortable fight scene, by the way.
Just amazing.
You know what's funny? I mean, this is not the first time this film style, especially for a fight scene, has been done. Ong Bak, the Thai Warrior, one of them. I'm sorry, not that one, the Protector. The Raid, Old Boy, you know, have all done sort of versions of these, but every time it's done, it's still badass.
Yeah. And I mean, and for a TV show.
Yeah, exactly. And I've talked so many times about how many great stories there are in comic books, and there's a reason that I like those stories and why not get those writers, yada, yada, yada. The reason is there's badass imagery in comics.
I do have a question, though. Now I was thinking about it. Would this really be classified as a TV show at this point? Because it's not really, it's a little pedantic, but it's not technically on television. What should it be called? Well, something different?
Well, it's an episodic TV show.
It's TV.
Yeah. They're following a storyline, and Netflix puts out a full season every time they do one of their shows. So in that, you really can't say it, but it's episodic. They're following a basic storyline. They have the ancillary storylines that you don't really want to pay attention to. But, you know, they have that. And, I mean, I don't know if you put together that the guy on the roof that he's talking to is the Punisher, John?
Yeah, no. Okay, I pretty much got it right away.
Well, I mean, they don't really say he's the Punisher at all this episode. So.
By the way, I really congratulate you for not having that, excuse my language, fucking skull on a shirt.
It gets there later.
Oh, no, I'm just happy you have a character like the Punisher and not necessarily have that symbol. Yeah. I was blown away because anytime they introduce that character, a few seconds later, that skull shows up. And
well, this is also before he really took on the full role of the Punisher. So this is like part of his origin story was told in this season.
I'm just very happy because pretty much even from the one with, was it not Eric Bana? John Travolta, that skeleton, that skull shirt pretty much showed up almost scene one.
Yeah.
Well, so that's the thing is I like the environment or his enemies are the ones who give these people their, part of the order. This t-shirt and I punish people. So I'm going to give myself this bitch a nickname.
Okay.
You know, we all do that guy on the schoolyard that gave himself his own nickname.
Yeah.
I want to make one more comment. I love the use of the the chain in this movie.
This episode. Oh, so did you also, Ryan, did you also catch that that Daredevil did squeeze the trigger in the fight?
It's been like a week and a half since I've seen it. Okay. Refresh my memory.
So when he puts the Punisher in the elevator, turns around and he's gonna save the old man from those guys in the before he enters the stairwell, he pulls up the gun and pulls the trigger, and it's empty. So he shot one guy in the face.
He smirked too.
Yeah, so it's kind of funny that I didn't catch it the first time because I was so blown away by the fight sequences. And I really want to know how many takes that guy went through doing that.
So with that said,
one more thing, John, did you notice there wasn't a break in the camera all the way down?
That was really well done.
It was that to me was just amazing camera work.
I just hope they only did one take. Cause I have a feeling if not, some people were really sore afterwards.
Or crippled.
Tell how tired he was at the end of that staircase.
Yeah.
Well, so that being said, we're going to go on to movie news, but with a quick break, just to let you know, we do have a Facebook page. Do you love us? Hate us? Be creative. At least if you're going to send us hate mail, I mean, I'm kind of pleading at this point.
Please. Nazis are bad.
And just to let you know, we do now have an audio version of our show available on Podbean, Stitcher, and many more. Make sure you check us out. And I got some movie news for you, and this one just made me laugh because as a kid, I always thought this particular movie was hilarious. There's going to be a cult classic. It's ready for a reboot. Can anybody guess what it is? The Puppet Master.
Oh, yes, I did. Yeah.
Ryan, are you there?
Yeah.
Okay. So you lost your video. So.
Yeah, the Puppet Master is coming back, and I don't know if I'm happy or sad about it, but at least I'm going to be thoroughly entertained as small puppets drill through people's skulls.
Yeah, I thought the Puppet Master was okay, but it wasn't the best or even close to being fully entertaining film.
I'll give you that, but the use of the puppets always made me laugh, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, there's certain things, you know, that are just done for those, you know, 30 seconds worth of film.
Okay. And the next one is we do have a new Tomb Raider. So Angelina Jolie is no longer Miss Croft in the next round of movies. We have Alicia Vikander is going to be the new Vikander face of the movie. Lara Croft in the TV in the movie. Which
do you know who she is?
No.
John or Ryan?
Nope.
Okay. So I think it'll be interesting to see how they're going to do it because the new video games, if anybody ever actually played it, she's no longer really the sex symbol as she was before. I mean, now she's actually animated looking like a real person. So I'm really interested to see how they play that off.
Yeah, I could see that. Now I got a little bit too. You guys know that LeBron James is going to be working for Space Jam 2.
Jeez. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And you also know that they're working on the screenplay for Jungle Book 2, right?
What does an aneurysm feel like?
I think you're about to find out.
Right?
Holy crap.
So, now I'm just wondering why they have to have sequels to Space Jam and Jungle Book. We just finished that Jungle Book, and I think they pretty much wrapped that up in a nice little package.
Yeah, now it's going to be in him, and he's older, and then we're back into that territory because the movie's going to make a ton of money. Space Jam made a ton of money, and I will defend that movie forever.
So I've actually never watched Space Jam entirely through.
Really?
Yeah, I've only seen bits and pieces of it.
I was like that for 2001. So I do have
You're
a question.
Still like that for 2001.
Yeah, true. Why do they not wait, like, movies I don't want remakes for, they make. And movies I want remakes for, they don't. Like, I want Spaceballs 2, never mind Jungle Book 5 or whatever it technically is.
Well, they're going to tell you the origin of Rin.
Oh.
Spaceballs 2.
Another one is interesting is Nathan Fillion, everybody's favorite captain, is going to be in Guardians of the Galaxy 2. What do you think?
Who's he playing? Is he a Green Lantern?
I actually, honestly, I don't know if they've
what?
Said anything.
It's a legit question.
No, I just think it's funny.
I mean, yeah.
What was that?
Yeah. Sure.
What?
I have no idea what the hell you said.
I haven't needed a lot.
We're all on the same page. Let's turn it.
So hopefully his outfit's not CG.
Oh, jeez. Anyways,
now, I do have a kind of a question. There's on Doctor Strange, there's been quite a bit of a hubbub about Tilda Swinton playing the Tibetan.
The blonde monk. Crack yeah. addict.
Okay, I've actually got an opinion on this one.
You gotta have an opinion.
We do a movie review show.
I've got a lot of friends that are Asian, and it never ever occurred to me how many times this actually happens. Until they actually brought it up. They're like, damn it, I'm tired of this happening. I'm like, what are you talking about? They're like, every time there is some prominent Asian character, one, it's either stereotypes and
Miyagi.
No Asian dude ever gets laid in a movie, aside from Glenn. But, I mean, that's because that's a pretty, I guess, progressive show. But but all the characters that should be Asian and they're played by just sort of Asianized white people. You know, like there are no Asian actors out there.
You know, you got me thinking about it, and I think you're right. I think the only actually Asian character that they've kept Asian is Mr. Miyagi.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about it, and that's the really only one that I can think of. They kept the character Miyagi.
And that's probably because they couldn't find anybody who didn't fit Jackie Chan's description who wasn't Jackie Chan.
But still,
well, I mean,
though.
There's nobody with that kind of funny quality to him that aside from Jackie Chan.
True, I mean, and Jackie.
Still hate that movie, for the record.
And Jackie Chan is one of the rare people who has an incredible timing in comedy. So,
yeah.
And on the list, on the pile of really, there's a Three's Company movie in the works.
A movie.
Yeah.
Do they have Golden Girls in the works, too?
I'm trying to figure out, was this needed? Was there somebody from the 70s who's like, I really want to see a movie that's John Ritter's character without John Ritter? I mean, I'm kind of confused.
I'm still confused why they would... Who pitched that?
I'm kind of with you. And if you want to add on to that pile, Pamela Anderson is returning to Baywatch. So apparently they have
Baywatch is still going?
There's a Baywatch movie. With The Rock. Yeah.
Okay, I remember.
So my guess is Pamela Anderson's going to be playing a crack addict or something.
I mean, what's his name still alive, right? Kit? Knight Rider?
Yes. Hoff is still alive.
Yeah. I wonder if he's going to be in there, too.
I think he is, actually.
Most likely.
He'll play a victim of his career.
Be in it?
What was that?
Yeah, I liked Dwayne Johnson's Facebook page, and I remember actually him saying something about that.
Well, you know what? Look, Dwayne Johnson kind of forever gets a pass with me. I hope they just throw endless amounts of money at that dude to do whatever he wants.
I want to see Urban Commando 2.
With The Rock?
Yeah.
Okay. I was going to say, you're just throwing that out there?
Yeah.
John Cena to be doing it?
Hell, why not? Have you seen The Marine? It's practically
that. Yes, I have. Unfortunately.
Yeah, that's an unwatchable movie.
I mean, John Cena's worse than Ron Perlman.
I mean, I like John Cena. I think he's done some funny shit,
yeah, actually.
But, I mean, if I'm comparing Dwayne Johnson to John Cena, it's like, there's no comparison there.
No, one has more than five wrestling moves.
But you can't see me. I sure hope I don't owe money for that.
Well, let YouTube do it. So next month for our theme, we're picking family movies.
It is all on him. That's not me, guys.
Yes, well, I figured since we're coming into the summer season, why not, you know, do something that, well, the kids won't be able to watch our show, but at least they'll be able to watch the movies. I'm picking...
What? I don't say anything bad.
Oh, that's what you think. I'm picking a 1960s classic. It's another Disney movie.
Let me get away with it.
You're worse than us. I'm picking The Swiss Family Robinson.
Should I continue to talk over you?
No.
Okay.
It was
just a question.
I'm picking The Swiss Family Robinson.
And you're doing a show too, right?
Yes. I decided since I'm keeping up with old things, I'm picking a MacGyver episode just to screw with James. It's season 2, episode 1, The Human Factor, and it is available on Netflix.
Wow. I was going to say, man, everybody go dust off their laser disc.
Okay.
Betamax is more than I get. But,
season 2, episode
1.
Episode 1. Okay.
It's The Human Factor. And I gave The Jungle Book a 4.5 out of 5. James gave it a 4.5 out of 5. Ryan gave it a 4.5 out of 5. We're doing Swiss Family Robinson, 1960-ish. And we're doing MacGyver season 2, episode 1. I didn't actually look up, but it was made. You'll understand, has Haley Mills in it.
A long time ago.
Pretty much. Before our time, honestly, but that's 95% of the movies we do.
Not what I'm picking.
And as always, thank you for watching.
Goodbye. We'll be right back.